I don't know about you, but I find it rather curious that after all that the disciples had been through with Jesus, after having endured the pain that came with knowing that they had betrayed him, that they had denied him, that they had abandoned him, but were able to joyfully receive his resurrection, that even still, as it comes down to the very end of Jesus' earthly ministry, as he's preparing to ascend into heaven, it says that they're standing before him, they're bowing down, they're worshiping him, yet they doubted. Even then, they doubted. Now, the scripture doesn't get into the details as to what their doubts were. But in many ways, whether you're looking at Matthew's account or reading the account from the Acts of the Apostles after Jesus ascends into heaven, and you hear the voice crying out, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing up at the heavens?" In both cases, Jesus follows up either their being stunned or their being stricken with doubt with a call. They are called to go to make disciples. And that's really the cornerstone of the church's mission. Why we exist, why we are here 2 millennia later, is because the disciples, despite their doubts, despite their fears, despite their denials, all their foibles, all their sin, even their internal disputes, they heard God's call. They heard the mission of Jesus that was being entrusted to them to go. I'm sure they would have easily been ready to just kind of say, "Okay, we've got this. It's been revealed to us. Now we can quietly live out our faith until Jesus comes again, because he promised he would come again." And what would have happened? 2,000 years later, we'd have never heard anything about Jesus and his saving death and his life-giving resurrection. The hope that would come with Jesus would have died with his ascension if they had been quiet. And believe me, there had to have been times that they were tempted, when they were enduring persecution, when they were being hauled into tribunals, when they were being beaten, flogged, and most of them led off to the death of a martyr. They had to have been tempted, but somehow their doubt had been dissipated so much that they were able to go on. Well, you think about it. What is it that is the cause of doubt? We can look back and say, well, maybe some uncertainty. But usually I know when I have doubts about myself, it's not just uncertainty. It tends to be rooted more than anything in fear. Fear of the unknown. What's waiting around the next corner? What my actions or what answering a particular call might demand of me. I believe that's a lot of what happens in our faith, is that we can allow ourselves to be paralyzed by fear that lets itself spring forth as our own doubts. Now, certainly, that's not of God, but there is a remedy. What was it that was able to get rid of that fear? The scriptures tell us that there's one recipe for eradicating fear: perfect love. Perfect love casts out all fear. Now you think about it. When did we get our mission? When did we get our calling as disciples of Jesus Christ? The moment we were baptized. When we were baptized into Christ's body, without exception, you and I were each given a calling. Now, certainly, we didn't jump into it right away, particularly if we were baptized as infants. We literally had to start taking baby steps, didn't we? But hopefully that that was nurtured in our lives, that we were formed as Christians, and hopefully owned it for ourselves in having experience of Jesus Christ, empowered by His Spirit, many times along our journey through the sacraments, but hopefully in our moments of prayer, in our moments of worship, worship that even the disciples engaged in despite their moments of doubt or being awestruck, they still prayed. You see, those sacramental moments for us hold our call as well as the assurance that we're going to be able to fulfill it. Because God doesn't leave us empty-handed. Each sacrament that we participate in is a sure avenue of grace. In baptism, we are marked, we are signed, we are chosen, we are infused with a permanent character, a permanent grace, where God gives us everything that we need to do the job that He's entrusted to us. Everything. Now, sometimes we might get a little discouraged because we might want something different. And God hasn't given us what it takes to do that which is something different than what He called us to. But He's given us all that we need to live out our vocation in life. In the sacrament of reconciliation, grace is imparted, sins are forgiven. God gives us all we need to live as forgiven people. But sometimes we put up barriers, don't we? How many times do I hear someone wanting to reconfess something from years before? Not because I believe God hasn't forgiven them, but they haven't gotten to a point of being able to believe that they are worthy of being forgiven. That God would love them so much to be able to literally eradicate, erase that sin. You come forward to receive Jesus in Holy Communion. In the Holy Eucharist, grace is imparted. We are physically and spiritually nourished and nurtured. You know, you don't go to work on an empty stomach, right? We don't go to mission with an empty spirit. We carry Christ with us. Confirmation unleashes it. Those called to the vocation of marriage, God gives a particular grace, so that husband and wife can live out their vocation in mutual and lasting fidelity. Likewise with the ordained priest. It's not because of the individual's perfection, far from it. If it depended on that, we'd really be in trouble, wouldn't we? But God gives a grace despite the frailty of the human instrument to be able to impart grace through the ministry of the priest in the sacraments. So you see, God doesn't leave us alone to do this. We somehow can be guilty of constructing barriers, maybe resisting God's grace, resisting God's call, but that doesn't mean that God ever pulls back that call. He doesn't. He chose you and me, each for a purpose, each to be disciples who make disciples. And that really is the formula to what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, to be people who make more disciples. That's where the proof is in the pudding, of being ready to stand up for our faith, not in a defensive posture, but in a way that is positive, that is inviting, that is rooted in love. You know, so many people want nothing to do with organized religion. They feel that the churches are filled with hypocrites. With that, I don't know that too many of us could disagree, could we? Because a hypocrite is someone who says one thing and does another, right? And how many of us profess our faith and don't always live it out perfectly? I know I could probably get the award for the biggest hypocrite. My perfection is not there yet. But God's working on us. If we can see ourselves as missionary disciples who are going into the world, meeting them where they are, We can't stand at the door and say, we're here waiting for you whenever you want to come back. Jesus gives us the example of being the shepherd who goes out looking for the lost sheep. And that extends to every part of the body of Christ, the church. Who among us doesn't know of a family member, a friend, a coworker, colleague, even an acquaintance, who just may be waiting for an invitation? And you know what? They may not respond right away. It may take more than one ask or more than one invite. It may take 3 or 5 or 7 or 10 or more. Because we have to work with where people are. But it can't be that we demand that people change and become something or be in a place where they're not. We have to look where people are right now and let God be the one who worries about their transformation, just like we need to keep ourselves close to God to allow ourselves to be transformed in the people that He's called us to be. We may have our doubts, we may have our insecurities, but there's one formula for getting rid of those doubts, for getting rid of that fear. And that's perfect love. And where do we encounter perfect love? In no other place than the person of Jesus Christ. In a moment, you'll encounter that perfect love as you receive Him body, blood, soul, and divinity. Because what greater love is there than this? Than to lay down one's life. And not only did Jesus lay down His life, He offered it for you. And today, He offers His resurrected life to you. That's perfect love. And that has the power to cast out all doubt and all fear. Amen.